welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emmett Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about renting versus owning property. Now, this is an interesting one that got sent to me from a listener of the show, Jason, and he sent me a link to the Property Versus chat group, and he said, oh, there's going to be fertile ground for podcast content in there. And it was a discussion about should you rent or should you own property. Now, the trouble with these things is that I go through and I read people's comments and they say, well, what about this? What about this cost? What about interest? What about blah, 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 blah? And I think, mate, these 130 comments are a waste of time. Somebody just needed to build a spreadsheet. You know,
that's your answer to everything.
Well, it's because
I swear to you, when I try and decide where we want to go for dinner every night, you want to try and produce a spreadsheet.
No, if we did that, the spreadsheet would just say Saigon City, Christchurch.
Vietnamese. Yeah.
And I'm actually not even joking about building a spreadsheet. The reason I say this is because there's no point saying, well, what about this factor? What about that factor? You've got to build a model that's going to take all of these factors into account. So look, because interest rates are rising, and pretty significantly, that is causing some people to say, well, maybe I shouldn't buy a property, and instead it might be cheaper just to rent. So look, I've built you out a model that goes over 15 years, and it considers things like, well, if you rent, obviously, you're going to miss out on capital growth of a property. But at the same time, if you rent, then you can take the deposit you were going to put into the property, you could invest in something else, perhaps something like shares. Similarly, if renting takes less cash flow per week, which it does because you don't have a mortgage, and I'll explain some of those factors in a second, well, then you could take that extra money and put it into shares or some other alternative investment. So look, I've taken into account all of these factors. If producer David reminds me, I'll just upload my spreadsheet in the show notes so you can download this and play with it yourself.
How many people actually download these, not like the return on investment calculator, just these weird ones that you do?
I don't actually know. I don't bother checking because I just think it's probably two people.
No, there's more than just manual. Enjoy.
No, I think it's interesting because we're trying to take into account all these factors, even things like, okay, rates, insurance, and maintenance. Now, look, I'm just going to take you straight to the punchline. So if you were to rent a standard two-bedroom townhouse in Christchurch, something that, you know, I'm really familiar with, and so I know what the numbers are on this, it is cheaper to rent today than it would be to own that property and live in it yourself, because it's probably going to rent for $480 per week. And when you look at both the interest costs, the rates, the insurance, the maintenance, all of that, it's probably about $570 per week. So about a $90 difference. Now, of course, if you're going to be buying that as an owner-occupier, on top of that, you're going to have to pay principal repayments. So it goes up. So the reason I exclude those principal repayments is that I'm just looking at the sunk costs in this example, just the ones that you're not going to get your money back. Whereas if you pay down debt, hey, you're actually building up an asset. It's for savings. Now, what's interesting though, and this is really important, although renting is cheaper in this model, it is important to note that rents increase faster than the cost of owning something. And the reason behind that is that your operating costs, your rates, your insurance, maintenance, that's going to go up by about 2% a year, general inflation, whereas your rent per week over the long term, somewhere closer to 4.7% per year. And I think that's the key thing that changes over time. So while renting might have better cash flow today, while it might cost you less today than owning something, in 5 years' time, it switches around the other way. So if you're planning to purchase a property for 30 years, yeah, sure, renting might be cheaper for the first four, but it's more expensive for the last 26. So this is where you've got to, you know, start to think about more of the long term rather than just the here and now. And that's before we even start thinking about the asset side, paying down debt, your property increasing in value, all those kinds of things.
And look, of course, if you're not purchasing your owner-occupied property, then you've got a big, chunky, healthy amount of cash in the bank that then you can go and invest in something else. Crypto, maybe not. Shares, managed fund, or just in the bank if you want to be really safe.
Yeah, well, in this example, I've modelled $120,000. Yeah, about $124,000 deposit. And putting in any money that you would save by renting, putting that money into shares going up at 8%. And what's interesting is that initially, for the first 2 years, doing that, putting your money into shares, actually beats out property, just for the first 2 years. But after that, the power of leverage, the power of using the bank's money to invest and property going up at a lower capital growth rate than the shares, it starts to take over from year three onwards. And let me just skip to the 15-year view. So let's say you took the deposit that you were going to put into a owner-occupied property, you invested that in shares and you took all of that money that you were saving in those first 4 years and put it into shares. Well, hey, what would you have at the end of 15 years? And the answer is actually a pretty healthy 580 grand.
Right.
You know, well, I mean, that's 15 years of growth on your 124K deposit plus putting some extra money in. Well, if you looked at property, and even though, arguably, again, it's a more expensive option, at least in the short term, you'd end up with $952,000.
What growth rate did you use on that?
5% for property, 8% for shares.
Okay.
So we've discounted both compared to the historical norms because property's been around 7%, shares might be up around the 10% mark. But because of the leverage and because you're paying down some debt, there's about a $370,000 difference in your net position between purchasing that owner-occupier and renting and doing something else with your money. So I suppose the key thing here is I'll put this spreadsheet down in the show notes. So anybody who's really interested, I'll leave it all unlocked so you can just look at the formulas. And then if I've done something wrong, you can all berate me later for it. But I wanted to do this to demonstrate that while, yes, certainly in the first 4 years, renting can be cheaper from a cash flow perspective over the long term when we factor in all of the different things. Hey, look. Owning property does end up working out better from a financial perspective.
And look, I do want to say, though, that it's not always just about the financial benefit. So I was a rent investor for most of my life. Certainly for my investing career, I've mostly invested in property and rented an apartment or rented where I want to live. Now, the reason for me to do that was because I loved living in an apartment. I would never have had that apartment as my owner-occupied property. I'd never invest that amount of money in that apartment because it was, I remember I've mentioned on the show before, it leaked like a sieve. It was constant maintenance issue, probably needed earthquake repairs. All the things I didn't want to actually have, it would have been more of a liability than an asset for me, but loved living there and I paid my $500 a week and it was comfortable.
You told me it was 550.
Was it? I think it went up when I left. But I think it started at 450, I think. I think it was cheap.
Enough of your waffle.
Anyway, I got the property and I just go and buy rental properties. Properties that were much more suitable for what I was trying to achieve, which was capital growth. That and I had flexibility. I mean, I didn't move for the 10 years that I was there, but
I could have.
In my mind, I knew that, well, if I wanted to go live in Auckland for a year, if I wanted to go overseas for a year, if I wanted to live in Wellington, I could absolutely do that.
You go overseas for a year. What a laugh. And I suppose this spreadsheet does not count that because I'm exactly the same situation. Renting, but purchasing investment properties. And that approach to investing is perfectly fine. This is about getting access to the leverage and also getting access to be able to pay down debt on an asset like that. That's fine. But this model that we've talked about today is about saying, well, maybe I don't want to buy a property. Maybe I want to just rent and invest in shares. And based on this model, you know what? Doesn't work out as well as making the leap and purchasing property. What I do want to mention, though, is there are some really legitimate circumstances where you might rent. So, for example, I was speaking with the owner of a property management firm up in Auckland, and he said, I just rent. I've rented for years and had investment properties. I said, why do you do that? He says, well, because if I look at the sort of house I want to live in with my three children, it's going to be a multi-million dollar property in central Auckland. And I know for a fact that the gross yield on those sorts of properties are about 2%. So I could go and live in his situation. He could go and live in one of these properties, pay a 2% gross yield. But if he was to go and take out an 80% loan and purchase that property, what's he going to pay on it? Let's call it 5% interest rate. Well, he's going to have a deposit. So let's call it 4% interest rate compared to the value of the property. So he could either pay a 4% effective gross yield on the property to live in there, or he could pay 2% by renting. So I'm just trying to say in that situation, when you're wanting to live in a property that has very low tenant demand because it's really nice at the luxury end of the market, that's where it can make a lot more sense to rent and then own lots more properties elsewhere.
The other thing, you've factored into this model of paying normal full rent, but I know a lot of investors who are rentvestors who just go and rent a room at a house. So they'll just take $200 a week and pay for a board, or they might rent a house and then rent out the other rooms. One investor that I worked with years ago lived in Auckland, and the property that they rented ended up that they were making $200 a week once all their flatmates paid their share of the board, and then they lived there essentially free, made an extra $200, and then just bought rental properties. Great plan. Now, you've got to obviously have the stomach to have a lot of people sharing your bathrooms, which isn't for me. But if you could do that, then that can really help get you ahead.
Yeah. And I think any of those models, as long as you've got access to the leverage, then there's going to be very little difference between renting yourself and owning a property, apart from the obvious fact of LVR restrictions, which is that the downside of being a rentvestor is that you can only lend 60% against those properties rather than the full 80%.
Unless, of course, you buy a house to live in and then you rent it out later and then you move from house to house.
Yeah, or you do something with a non-bank lender where they give you additional leverage. But that is usually the key consideration. Now, the other reason I want to record this is I do think, because I've already started seeing it in the media, we're going to see more. And we're going to see more articles about this. And what I just want to point out is that when you read those, just be very clear, they're probably going to be talking about today. So what does it cost to own a $900,000 three-bed townhouse in Auckland versus renting it? And what you will see is that today, right now, yep, it would be cheaper to rent that property. But over the long term, over 4 years or in 4 years' time, it switches around the other way because rents continue going up forever and you've always got to pay them, whereas mortgage interest tends to decline over time simply because as long as your interest rate stays constant, that level is going to decrease by inflation, but also you're paying off debt over time as well. And so really important to note that, yep, they are correct. Today, renting cheaper, but if we're looking at making a financial decision, over time, property does better, or owning property tends to do better. Tell you what, spreadsheet's down in the show notes. Tap or swipe over the cover art. Link's in there. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It really does help us get the message out to more people. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Everett Knight. And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of using the property market. Until next time.